Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to another episode of the Coach Cody Podcast. If you have not listened to last week's episode yet, highly recommend you do. It is not required to move on to this episode, but it is on all dimensions of health, which is very important. We tend to overlook anything other than physical health, but mental, emotional, all those things are important to include if you want to be overall healthy, because you can't have health without mental health, emotional health, and all those other areas included. So check that out if you get a chance. And it's hard to believe that we are already halfway through May. I'm not really sure where time is going, but at the same time, I'm kind of here for it because I thought 2024 was going to be like my year, but you know, maybe next year. So I'm good with the time going a little quicker. It is also almost summer, which generally not my favorite season, but it is nice to have some sunshine. But I did want to remind you all, make sure you hydrate. When it comes to the springtime weather, when it starts warming up, we tend to forget that we need to drink more water. We're sweating a little bit more. So if you're feeling fatigued in the gym, you're getting headaches, make sure you're drinking enough water to make up for the extra heat and sweat. But anyways, I'm just going to ramble this whole episode. Just kidding. But this episode, I want to go over some fat loss myths, because there's a ton out there and probably even more than I'm going to go through today. But I wanted to go through some of the most, you know, the loudest myths that tend to just get out there and stay out there and never die. But I would love if they would die, because yeah, it's already confusing enough as it is. So let's kind of go through these fat loss myths. I can speak today. Fat loss myths. I feel like I just developed a lisp there with the fat loss myths. Okay, so myth number one. This is eating after 8 p.m. or just late in general tends to lead to weight gain. The truth is, it's not when you eat that matters the most. It's how much you eat and what you eat, and it's your overall calories throughout the day that are going to affect if you're going to gain weight or not. So total calories within the day, no matter what time you eat them, you're going to gain weight if you're over consuming calories. So it's okay, you know, say you get home from work late and it's already 8 p.m. Don't think you can't eat because you're just going to gain weight. But eating late can mess with digestion, which in turn can disrupt your sleep. So that's the main reason why it's best to kind of have a cutoff. Going to bed too full isn't great. You can cause some indigestion and stuff, but you also don't want to go to bed hungry. So you kind of have to find that sweet spot for yourself. But there isn't a rule around, like, your body doesn't know that it's 8 p.m. and you need to stop eating because it's going to just start storing fat, right? All right, myth number two. Carbohydrates make you fat. And this is still a big one with the keto diet out there. And I feel like there's a place and time for a keto diet, you know, depending. It could be therapeutic. Like, say you are on the verge of developing diabetes, then it might be a fast track to kind of reverse that a bit or help keep control of your blood sugar a little better. But carbohydrates in and of themselves are not going to make you fat. So it's still about eating excess calories. So if you're overeating any of the macronutrients, whether it's fat or protein or carbs, you are going to gain weight in that sense. You're just overeating. So any diet out there that tells you to exclude any specific macronutrient is usually bullshit. So just keep that in mind. We're humans. We're meant to eat a variety of different things. And we're not meant to just exclude everything on purpose. If you think about back in the day when we were probably cavemen hunting for food, there was probably times where we were in ketosis and we were not eating carbs because it was not available. So maybe all we could do is find a massive buffalo to kill. And in that term, we were probably carnivore for a short amount of time. And that's why I always find it so interesting, these diets that go around, because I'm sure there was times in our lives back in the day before, you know, all of modern civilization, where we just had meat to eat and we would eat as much as we could because we didn't know when we're going to be able to find our next meal. Then maybe there are some times that we had to go and basically pick twigs and berries off bushes because we're starving and we're just searching for anything, you know? So having these diets be like, hey, we're the one way to health is kind of hilarious, because I don't think as humans we ate one way for our entire lives since the beginning of time. It's always been like, what's available? What's edible? What is going to help us survive another day? So anyways, carbohydrates, not going to make you fat. So just make sure you're not overeating your calories. All right, so myth number three, extreme calorie restriction is the best way to lose fat fast. Otherwise known as like crash diets, right? Or just, you know, not eating. We have a name for that. It's not good. Anorexia is not some, it's not a good way to lose weight, guys. So don't try it. So severely cutting your calories can actually cause your metabolism to adapt quicker than it needs to. We do have smart bodies, and there is something called metabolic adaptation. And we got this confused for a while with like survival mode. Like if you skip meals, then your body is going to just start storing everything because it thinks it's trying to survive. That's not how it works. It doesn't work that quickly. If you've ever watched, you know, Survivor, for example, and watched those contestants wither away after not being able to eat very much, you know that survival mode for your body isn't necessarily going to actually keep you alive and prevent you from losing fat. Are their metabolisms probably a lot slower? Yeah, because it is trying to keep them alive, but it doesn't, it cannot push through the laws of thermodynamics. So no matter what, if you don't eat, eventually you will starve. So our bodies can only be so smart. But so when you cut your calories too quickly, your body adapts and becomes more efficient on lower calories. So think of it like a car, right? If your car was smart and it knew that we were running low on gas and we still had 100 miles to go, and say it just was like, we're going to start preserving gas and do XYZ to do so. Like, that's basically what our bodies do. Can you tell I know nothing about cars? Okay. Moving on, I'll stick to health and nutrition and fitness. For cars, for me, I'm like, whatever gets me from A to B, I'm fine. If it runs, awesome. Reliable, awesome. If not, I don't know. I've never had like an interest in cars. Anyways, tangent, but let's keep going. So, next myth, fat-free foods are better for weight loss and better for health in general. So if you were born in the late 80s, 90s, let's just say you went through the 90s, early 2000s, there was a low-fat craze, kind of like how there's the low-carb craze now. Everything was about low-fat. But fat-free doesn't mean calorie-free. And fat-free products usually have added sugars to kind of make up for the fat that they're missing, to try to trick the brain into thinking it's still delicious, even though it does not have the fat. And so you're basically just eating a shittier version of something that's already shitty. So it's not helping much. And we also need healthy fats in order to be healthy, perform our best for brain health, heart health. We need those healthy fats, omega-3s. So if you're not supplementing with like krill oil or fish oil, that is something that you might want to consider if you don't eat a lot of fish. Just eating fish is great, but if you're someone who hates it, make sure you're getting in those healthy fats. Also, avocado oil is a great oil to cook with. Macadamia nut butter, that's my favorite right now. That's avocado. Just straight up avocado is great. Healthy fats. You know, walnuts, a lot of nuts have some good healthy fats in them. Of course, they are very calorie dense. So you do have to be careful, and then you just have to know, no matter where it's coming from, if you eat too much of it, you will gain fat, but that doesn't mean that fat in and of itself is going to make you fat. So next one, let's go with myth that supplements can help you lose fat effortlessly. I'm thinking fat burners, Ozempic, etc. So I have nothing against Ozempic for those who need it, or like Wegovy. There's Mounjaro or something like that. There's a few different ones. There are people who can definitely benefit from these medicines, and I don't have a problem with people using them when they are in dire need of them. The time I have issue with it is for like vanity pounds. So if you have maybe 5 pounds to lose and you're taking Ozempic or etc., not the greatest. There is a lot of side effects and potential risks with these medicines, and for those who really need it, the risks kind of outweigh the benefits. So that's why they are helpful for those that need it, but I don't think it's a great thing to do if you're not in dire need of it. Just in case you're wondering my stance on Ozempic, I know that's a hot topic right now, thanks to Oprah and Jillian Michaels. So, when it comes to fat burners, though, those those are definitely not going to help you much. You know, there is nothing that's going to replace, you know, changing your diet and exercise. Even with Ozempic, you need to make lifestyle changes. You need to make better habits. It's not just going to do the work for you. There is literally nothing that can do the work for you, no matter what medication. It just doesn't exist. So there's still going to be work involved, even if you're taking some sort of fat burner, which mostly they're stimulants. So in a sense, they're like fat mobile mobilizers where they help like use more fat for energy, but it's not going to actually do that unless you're exercising and eating healthy on top of it. So don't go thinking that you don't have to change anything. You can just take this pill, take this medication, and the weight's just gonna fall off. All right, so next myth. You need to do cardio in order to lose fat. So although I encourage you to do cardio because it is healthy and it's just part of a well-rounded fitness plan, it's not something that is required to lose fat. And I feel like this is usually a barrier for a lot of people because they're like, I hate running. Fuck that. I'm not even going to try losing weight. But the good news is, you don't have to run. You don't have to run and do cardio. There's a bunch of different modalities of cardio you could do. You could do whichever one you prefer. Even walking is a great form of cardio. And is it good to get your heart rate up higher and, you know, really push sometimes? Yes. But you don't have to be a runner if you're looking to lose fat. You could supplement it. It's a great way to like burn calories if you don't want to lower your food. So that's kind of a good tool and a way to use it. But you're going to want to focus more on strength training to improve your body composition long term. So when you strength train, it helps you build muscle. And then in turn, your metabolism is going to be higher in the long run because you're going to have more lean tissue. And your body's gonna need more calories to maintain your weight even while you're at rest. So that's why muscle is like this, you know, quote unquote magical metabolism booster. I mean, it's not magical. There's nothing magical, but it does help to have more muscle on your frame, not just for, you know, being able to eat more, but for health. Because as we get older, we tend to lose muscle mass, but we don't just lose muscle mass out of nowhere. It's because we're not as active, right? So for strength training and still pushing our challenging our muscles, pushing our bodies, then we're going to maintain a lot more muscle and strength than if we just called it quits and maybe just focused on cardio alone. And when you just focus on cardio alone, your body is not just burning fat, most likely it's also eating away at your muscle, which is going to make it harder to maintain fat loss over the long term if you have hardly any muscle. And so you'll just have to keep eating less and less or running more and more. And it's a vicious cycle. It is not fun. So strength train, definitely more sustainable in the long run. Cardio, great supplement for your health. Great supplement if you want to not have to lower your calories too quickly because you can use that to kind of burn a little bit more. But yeah, so don't be afraid if you hate running or you hate cardio. Still get started. And maybe you'll learn to like cardio at least a little bit along the way, even if it's just to, you know, improve your health. All right. So this next one is a pet peeve of mine. So spot reduction. So the myth is that specific exercises can target fat loss in certain areas. So if you're thinking, man, I want six-pack abs, I'm gonna do a million crunches. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. Or if you're like, I'm gonna do this booty blaster or hip something to lose. I mean, people don't really want to lose fat in their booties these days, but at some point they did. Then there's not gonna be any like glute exercises that you could do that are just gonna target that area of fat. You have to be in a calorie deficit consistently over time. And what determines where we store our fat is our genetics, unfortunately. So if you're someone who wants six-pack abs, but you tend to store most of your fat in your belly, it's going to take you a little longer for those abs to appear, and it's going to be a little harder for you to maintain that. Maintaining abs year round isn't really easy for most people. There is an exception. But you have to ask yourself, how much is it worth to you to have six pack abs? I feel like maybe everyone should try it once, but you might learn that it's not that fun after all. You gotta really watch what you eat, count calories pretty strictly. Unless you're like huge and you're a bodybuilder and you still eat a shit ton, and you can still stay lean because you have so much muscle. So, like I said, there are exceptions. But or maybe you want to lose some hip fat and you are a trans guy and you feel dysphoric about it. Same thing goes there. Genetics and your hormone profile do also determine where you might store fat. It took about a year, I feel like, of testosterone for my body to kind of stop storing fat in a more female pattern. So if you're someone who has just started testosterone and you're wondering when is my body going to stop storing fat this way, it can depend. But it did take about a year for me or so, maybe a little longer. Especially after my histo, I feel like that made a little bit of a difference as well, as far as fat distribution went. But exercise can speed it up a bit. So say you just want to lose fat around your hips if you're in a calorie deficit, and your body will eventually take fat from your hips. The problem being is a lot of the times these areas, we can't target it. So it's the patience factor. So maybe your body likes to take fat from your hips first, but then your belly last. So you might be happy, like, oh, I'm losing fat from my hips, but I still have this belly. So that means you got to stay in a calorie deficit in order for your body to give your body enough time to start taking fat from other places. And people are different. Some people distribute fat pretty evenly throughout their body, some more so. Those apple shapes, pear shapes, that sort of thing. Body shapes, we all come in different shapes and sizes. So that's the part that really depends on your genetics, unfortunately, and hormones. So don't think that you can, crunch your way to a six pack. You can build your ab muscles up just like any other muscle. But nutrition is always going to be the biggest determining factor here when it comes to fat loss. So don't, I mean, you could spend less time doing crunches and a little more time meal prepping, making sure you're hitting your macro goals, staying in a calorie deficit, and not spending too much time and focus in the wrong area. All right, moving on. So talk a little bit about detox teas, detox teas and diets, the fad type of stuff, right? I kind of already went into this a little bit, but detox teas were a thing for a while. I feel like they're not as popular anymore. I never hear anyone being like, take this detox tea, unless it's like a laxative. And it's like, yeah, you're about to shit your brains out. It's definitely something that you just expelled out of your body, but eventually that was gonna happen anyways. You just sped up the process. In a not as fun way. So let's see here. So there's definitely no scientific evidence of or like long-term effectiveness of detox products. We do have a liver that does a lot of our detoxing for us. So really, all you need to do to detox is change your diet and lifestyle. Clean up your diet, do all those things. You don't have to go taking detox pills and detox teas or detox juices or whatever. Just make your nutrition changes. That's gonna be enough. All right, next myth. Skipping meals helps you lose weight. So this is a big one. I feel like we've all gone through this at some point in our lives, where we're like, oh, I'm gonna skip the next meal so that I can like have a bigger next meal or something like that. And or oh, I didn't have lunch today. That means I can have a whole cake. And you could very easily eat back those calories from those skip meals. But also you can end up eating more than if you just ate regularly throughout the day because you're starving, right? You have hanger. You want to eat everything because you've been not eating throughout the day. Your energy has crashed. Your blood sugar is low, you're grumpy. So skipping meals is pretty counterproductive. It's gonna make you more fatigued. It's not gonna make you want to exercise or move around much. And you'll probably end up eating back all those calories plus some in the evening, when you finally get home and you're ready to relax from work, and you're just like, I'm gonna wind down with a little snacky snack. And then before you know it, you went and ate your whole pantry. So eat your meals regularly. You're not gonna gain weight if you eat more frequently. You're not gonna lose weight if you eat more frequently, which I'll get to that one in a second. But don't skip your meals. It's not gonna help. It's gonna make you more hungry. And yeah, give your body the energy it needs to get through the day so you move more and keeps you going and you're not miserable. All right. So here's this next one. This was I feel like this was born within bodybuilding, but I could be wrong. So eating small, frequent meals boosts your metabolism. And I eat frequent meals. I wouldn't say they're small, but it's just they're smaller than if I ate like three square meals because I'm eating a lot of food right now. I am bulking, because yes, I'm a bodybuilder. I'm one of those. But bulking in quotation marks doesn't mean eating everything in sight to gain weight. You still have to be careful. It's not about just the weight on the scale. Just like most things, it's about body composition if you're putting on muscle. And that wasn't what I'm supposed to talk about. But eating frequent meals throughout the day is a choice. If it helps you with your schedule, awesome. But you don't have to do that in order to boost your metabolism and lose weight. If you are someone who just likes eating three square meals throughout the day, perfect. If you're someone who thinks they like eating three square meals throughout the day, but then you find yourself snacking between meals, smaller frequent meals might actually be better for you because you're less likely to snack. And I'm gonna say it again, snack foods are a social construct. I have a I mean, hate's a strong word, but I have a big dislike for snack foods because we don't need snack foods. They were literally created for social settings. You know, like, have you ever gone to a barbecue and you've got the chips, you've got the whole spread, right? But it's mostly just carbs. And when you're eating those snack foods throughout the day, this is how you end up overeating. This is how you o end up eating too many carbs and fats and not getting in enough protein. You hit your calories because you've just been eating those snack foods, but you have not hit your protein goal. And so you're still hungry. You're not satiated, and your body's like, yo, we have this muscle to repair, but you're not giving us enough protein. Back to the social construct of snacks and why they anger me. It's because most snack foods are highly palatable processed foods. There are those foods that you tend to not be able to stop eating. Even when you really want to, you're telling yourself, like, hey, dude, like, stop, stop. And your brain's just like, yeah, I'll stop after the next one. And then you just keep going, whether that's chips or Oreos or I'm trying to think what else there is that is, you know, super hyper palatable. Pop-Tarts, baked goods, cookies, crumble cookie, any cookie, any of those foods. They're really hard to stop eating and very easy to overeat. But not only that is they don't keep you full and they don't give you any nutrients. They're empty calories. So that's why I always say snacks should be mini meals. So just because something is a snack doesn't mean you should have snack food. It means you should just have a smaller meal of something similar that you ate for lunch, something similar that you ate for breakfast, whatever. So, you know, my in between, I'll eat about 4 or 5 meals a day. It's like a smaller version of my lunch or breakfast. It's not, all right, I'm gonna have this Snickers bar. I'm gonna have a protein bar. Protein bars are like a fine line because they can be glorified candy bars, but it's, you know, something that if you're traveling can be helpful. I'd much rather see someone picking up a protein bar than just a straight up, you know, peanut butter cup or Snickers or whatever. But sometimes there's not a whole lot of difference besides the protein content, if the protein content is even high quality. You never know with these things. So just be careful. That's why food choices are so important and why eating whole food sources is always the best option as much as you can, unless, you know, exceptions. Traveling, out of your element, don't have access to other foods. But your food schedule is up to you and what works for you. It's not going to be super detrimental to eat 5 meals a day if that doesn't fit your schedule or your lifestyle or your goals. But do make sure that you're not snacking mindlessly between meals. All right. So that wraps up the fat myths for this episode. I might end up coming up with more, but I figure this is enough to start. But if you can think of any others, you can leave them in the comments if you're watching on YouTube. Or you can leave a review, or you can shoot me an email and I can talk on that a bit more. But these are definitely some fat loss myths I would love to see die. They just keep floating around the internet and everywhere. Probably because, I don't know, it's that thing of like, if something sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Same thing always applies to nutrition and fitness. If there's a product out there promising you guaranteed results in, 30 days, or fat blaster 30 days, or fat's just gonna melt away, chances are it's bullshit. So save your money, save your time, and your energy for the hard work, which unfortunately is just gonna be changing your diet and getting out and getting some movement in. I wish I had some more shortcuts. I actually wish a lot of these myths were true, because that would make life a lot easier, right? But unfortunately, they're not. If I had something to make it all easier to sell you, I totally would. Selling hard work, consistency, discipline, and lifestyle change isn't an easy job. If I wanted an easy job, I would sell cookies or something that just like made people happy and then was addictive. But I can't do that because I won't be able to sleep at night. So instead, I'm just going to tell you to eat your vegetables and your protein. And then we'll end it there. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you liked it, make sure to give it a rating on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Or leave me a comment if you're watching this on YouTube. And if you're interested in working with me as your coach, do make sure to go to my website. Fill out an application. That would be step one. Website is www.codyharmon.com. This will all be in the show notes, of course. But I am accepting clients if you are looking to improve your health, fitness, or maybe you're preparing for a bodybuilding show. Then hit me up. Also, if you just have any questions, you can also hit me up in my email. And that is trainwithcoachcody@gmail.com. All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening. I will see you next time.